Geopolitical tensions are escalating, inflation is raging despite what they say. Stocks are sinking, debt is rising, and your own financial future isn't looking too clever. Yet gold endures crisis. Wars, disasters, no calamity has beaten gold. While paper assets crash and burn, gold endures. You need to take a fresh look at gold steadying your portfolio. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with new IRAs this month. Help shield your savings with a Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Hey, everybody. Tan the Charlie Kirk Show. We have Chris Buzkirk joining us about some serious threats with speech codes on campus. Listen very, very carefully. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com, and come to AmericaFest, amfest.com, amfest.com. That's amfest.com. Tucker, Patrick Bett, David Candace Owens, Glenn Beck, Rob Schneider, Roseanne Barr, Tulsi Gabbard, Ted Cruz, Dennis Brager, Ali Beth Stuckey, Jonathan Isaac, Tim Pool, James O'Keefe, Riley Gaines, Ben Carson, Michael Anton, Jason Whitlock, Gad Sad, Brandon Tatum, Seth Dillon, Jack Posobiec, and more. Steve Bannon, Vivek Ramaswamy, amfest.com, amfest.com. We have Byron Donalds also join the show. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. All right, well, let's play some tape here. And one of the aspects of the Biden crime family is the former January 6 investigative counsel, Hunter Biden, says he's not getting a fair shake. He's being more harshly play cut 18.
So, you know, these are serious charges, and I don't want to diminish that. But I think these charges should be placed in a broader context of the investigation. So I think there are real questions about the delay with which DOJ has acted here. And I think that point from Hunter Biden's lawyer as to whether this would be happening if his last name wasn't Biden is a real question. And I will say, as a former DOJ prosecutor, more and more it looks like that to me. It looks like someone who's not getting a fair shake and is being treated more harshly because of their proximity to the president.
More harshly because of the proximity to the president? But hey, guess who is defending Joe Mittens, Pierre Delecto, play cut 20.
Have you seen any evidence that President Biden has committed high crimes and misdemeanors?
No, I don't see any evidence of that at all. I think before you begin an impeachment inquiry, you ought to have some evidence, some inclination that there's been wrongdoing. And so far, there's nothing of that nature that's been provided. President Biden's son, Hunter, is obviously been a very unsavory person. And has had some extremely damaging personal foibles, including a drug habit and so forth. That's not President Biden, and we're not going to impeach someone because of the sins of their kids.
Mitt Romney is lying. He is such a dishonest, immoral person. How about the checks, the wire transfers? Is this 10% for the big guy? It's unbelievable. Congressman Donalds is with us. Byron, have you seen evidence that Joe Biden is a traitor to the United States?
Okay, here's a couple things. Number one, the same day that the Chinese company CEFC wired $5 million into a business that had no activity in the account, by the way, for Hunter Biden and Jim Biden, is the same day that Jim Biden moved about $400,000 into his personal account and $200,000 went to Joe Biden on the same day. If that doesn't demonstrate bribery moving through the Biden family to Joe Biden himself, I don't know what is. I don't know what Mitt Romney is talking about. This is a joke. The president has taken foreign money through his family. So at a minimum, it's bribery. And I will also add that it is very clear that nobody on the family is registered as a foreign agent. So in my view, Joe Biden is a co-conspirator in violations of the Foreign Agent Registration Act, which is a felony in the United States of America.
So what are the next steps then, Byron? Are we going to have impeachment? We now have, you know, less of a House majority. What's going on here?
So what we're going to do this week is that we are going to have the vote on the floor. I think Wednesday for the impeachment inquiry. And this is important because we have three DOJ officials and one White House official who are ignoring congressional subpoenas. I mean, Charlie, look, take a step back. If you had three DOJ officials and a White House official under President Trump ignoring congressional subpoenas, the world would be over. The media would lose their minds. That's happening under Joe Biden. The media says nothing. And so what we're going to do is we're going to hold our impeachment inquiry vote. We have brought significant amounts of information to all of our members for review. We believe that vote is going to pass this week. So you're going to have a formal impeachment inquiry of the House. It's going to allow us to enforce those subpoenas. And then we're going to get the final information that we need. Chairman Jordan has about, he still needs to depose and interview so we can complete all of our work. And look, and Charlie, real quick. I know for the voters back home, everybody's saying, what's taking so long? Why are you doing this? You know, they did significantly less with President Trump. I'm not going to stand on the principles of Nancy Pelosi because she has no principles. We have a responsibility to do an extensive investigation if you're going to move impeachment articles against the president. Just because the Democrats play fast and loose with the rules doesn't mean that we should do the same. But what it does mean is that we have to do our work, do it diligently. We've been doing that on Capitol Hill since we took back the House majority.
No, I hear that. But I mean, I think we already have the evidence, Byron. But I know you guys got to do your due diligence and it's not your fault. But what the heck are we doing taking the month of August off, taking Thanksgiving off and Christmas off? It's not you. It's leadership. I think it's a good answer, Byron. But I'm with the grassroots on this. Our article should have been filed in February. But I hear you. OK, so let me ask on this 702 on the FISA. Speaker Johnson is all over the place on this. It's hard to track. Where do you think we're going to end up? Why does 702 even need to continue to exist?
Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't know where we're going to end up. What we should be taking is the judiciary bill that was voted on 35-2 out of the Judiciary Committee. This bill actually creates a warrant process to protect the American people from rogue agents in our government who have abused the FISA process. Not just Americans, but of course, President Trump as well. There's been terrible abuses. The judiciary bill, in my view, is the best bill. I don't agree with this strategy of running the intel bill and the judiciary bill because we should just be focused on what's going to get the most votes in the House of Representatives. And as I understand it, that is the bill that came out of the Judiciary Committee. The last thing I will say is there should be no clean reauthorizations of FISA in the National Defense Authorization Act. That should be removed immediately. I completely disagree with House leadership on that. That should not occur. But look, we do have enemies across the globe. We see it. Man, Joe Biden is a terrible president. His weakness has only emboldened our enemies. There is some importance with respect to national security for being able to collect that surveillance on foreign operatives. But the American people's First Amendment rights, Fourth Amendment rights must be protected at all costs. So the reforms in FISA are needed. The judiciary bill does that. If you have people like Andy Biggs, Jim Jordan in agreement, and frankly, with some of the progressive members on Capitol Hill who actually are concerned about spying on the American people, I mean, you got to give it to them. They got one thing right. They're concerned about it. Then we should follow that bill, completely reform FISA, give the intelligence community the ability to collect assets and information on foreign operatives trying to do damage to our country. But you have to hold accountable these bureaucrats who are spying on the American people. The judiciary bill does that.
Yeah, I mean, foreigners aren't under the United States Constitution. The issue is Americans. And we know how it's been abused to spy on Tucker, to spy on Trump. And I guarantee they're spying on Trump's campaign right now. I guarantee it. And they're just going to cover their tracks and delete it. But so Byron, I don't know where this is going to end up. Speaker Johnson's, at the very least, can we just hold the line on a 12-year renewal? And I hope our audience understands Pramila Jayapal and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar are fighting harder to make sure the government can't spy on Americans than most Republicans. Why is that, Byron?
Listen, I got to tell you, this one shocks me, Charlie. I got no good answer for it. I understand that we have enemies across the globe. I get that. I understand the need to get intelligence and to be able to get all the information you need. I totally understand that. But protecting the American people comes first and foremost. Constitutional rights are first and foremost. And so Americans need to be protected with their thoughts, their information, their speech to one another. The government agencies shouldn't be allowed to spy on our people, regardless of the information. And if you're going to do that, you need to get a court order to do that, Charlie. This is basic due process. And unfortunately, we have people in our government who they view that the national security aspects of the United States overwhelm and override the constitutional rights of the American people. Yep. I just simply don't agree. So I look, Pramila and I don't agree on much. We agree on this. And if there's an opportunity to agree and protect the American people, we're going to do that.
Byron Donalds, keep fighting. Thanks so much, man. See you soon.
Thanks, Charlie.
Listen up, parents. You and I know that kids' entertainment options are awful. Shows and books constantly try to sneak woke and progressive agendas onto our kids. You can't look away for a minute without fear of what might pop up. But there is good news. It's called Sherwood. Sherwood is your new alternative to Disney Plus, Kindle, and Audible, all rolled into one. Sherwood's library of ebooks, audio, and videos actually share your values. No ads and no agendas, just wholesome entertainment. But listen, Sherwood just launched, and right now, when you sign up for 1 year, you can get additional 3 years for free. This deal will not last long, so click the link or head on over to SherwoodKids.com/Kirk. I'm telling you, don't miss this one. Our kids need better options, and I am choosing Sherwood. I don't have time to build this out, but to announce tomorrow or when we have time this week, I want to read a very interesting tweet from a woman who obviously doesn't like Trump, but she pinpoints some really important concerns of how 2024 could go with Trump lawfare stuff. That's number. We don't have time for this today. It's comprehensive. We're going to print it out. If there's a news day this week leading into America Fest where there just isn't a major news item, that's worth doing. Number two, though, you're going to want to subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show. Next week after AmFest, we're obviously going to have unbelievable amount of speakers, and we also do private interviews, just so you know. We're going to do a private interview with Glenn Beck, private interview with Patrick Bet-David, private interview with Roseanne Barr. It's going to be incredible. And so make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast, follow this QR code. We're going to have a members deal. It's going to be amazing. But in addition to that, next week on Wednesday, once the AmFest dust settles, we are going to have at least 3 to 5 of the smartest guests. We're going to prep them on trying to game out 2024. I think we've done a very poor job. I'm on these group texts, so many of these group texts, and one with some, you know, really serious thinkers and doers and very, very well-connected people. And I just put in there, I said, hey, guys, have we thought through exactly what happens if Donald Trump is in leg irons in September of 2024? Have we gamed that out? Have we done moves and counter moves? So we really need to, I'm with the smartest guests to talk about 2024 and what they could do. Is there going to be a new virus on the horizon? Have we figured out mail-in ballots? Have we figured out the voting month? And I think that's a perfect time to do it. It's kind of usually, typically, who knows? There could be another war. There could be something else. But unless there's some black swan event or unexpected news item, usually the news calms down right before Christmas and people just kind of check out. It's a perfect time for us to methodically think about 2024 and isolate all of the threats, a threat analysis. There's some breaking news today. Our friend, who's also going to join the Charlie Kirk Show and is a keynote speaker at America Fest, amfest.com, amfest.com, Tucker Carlson, the Tucker Carlson Network, has been announced. And he seems to be at a very nice house in Florida. Might be his house, who knows? Play cut 28.
They told you the guys torching Wendy's in 2020 were mostly peaceful. They said that masks worked. They told you the vax was safe. They've tried to convince you that Russia blew up its own pipeline. The corporate media lied too much, and it killed them.
We're driving to see Julian Assange.
Believe me when I tell you.
Wait. I should be boycotting Bud Light.
Fantastic job.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
Tucker Carlson is announcing his network ahead of the election 2024. It is tuckercarlson.com. Pretty awesome. So heading into 2024, we need to think about all the different attack vectors. We're going to do that extensively. Trump gave a great speech at the New York Young Republicans deal. So glad he did that. Gavin is doing a really, really impressive job up there. I love it. I love what's happening in New York. They've just revitalized that thing. It was just dormant, really. I mean, existed. And now it's got life and vitality. It's really special. Play cut 22.
Make America great again. How powerful is that? MAGA. MAGA. I tell that to Biden. I say, Joe, when he gets up, we've got to stop the MAGA extremists. Yeah, I'm extreme about making America great again, right? We're extremists.
He says MAGA extremists, but I'm extreme about making America great again. There's story after story. There's a new poll out that shows that Donald Trump has 71% support in the Republican primary. We were told by Ron DeSantis and his allies, wait for Iowa, wait for Iowa, wait for Iowa. Des Moines Register Iowa poll, Donald Trump 51%, Ron DeSantis 19%, Nikki Haley 16%. If this is even remotely close, this thing could actually be over in Iowa. Forget the South Carolina reset with Nikki Haley. Forget the whole New Hampshire thing. If Donald Trump wins by more than 20 points. So by the way, make your plans now on caucus night. Circle the date. It's about a month out, by the way, just so you know, to watch this program. We're going to be streaming live in the evening. We're going to be doing it on all the platforms. January 15th. January 15th is caucus day, and we can't wait. We're going to be streaming live. It's going to be also podcasting, all that great stuff, taking questions from you. I hope this thing ends soon. I hope there's only a month left of this primary. The sooner this thing ends, the sooner we can transition into the general election fight that is looming. But this show is going to do the wargaming, is going to do the strategizing in the most dead news week of the year after AmFest. We're going to analytically think about all the different vectors of attack and how we can counter them coming into 2024.
I've been taking Balance of Nature for several years, and I feel the energy level of 27. I endorse it, I believe in it, and I would recommend it.
My name is Barbara, and I'm a registered nurse, and I take Balance of Nature. I really love gardening. I love being outdoors, and I love watching things grow. Gardening is just kind of an extension of enjoying nature. You get the sunlight, you get the breeze, you listen to the birds. It's the whole thing. I believe in Balance of Nature, and I really love it.
Celebrate Christmas with us. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer to get 35% off your first order plus a free fiber and spice supplement with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com and get this exclusive holiday offer by using discount code CHARLIE.
Joining us now is Chris Buzkirk, great American. He does an amazing job. We work together on a lot of different stuff. He's the co-founder of 1789 Capital and publisher of American Greatness. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you.
You bet, you too. Chris, you have a big announcement. Tell us about the SPAC. That's why you're in New York. Tell us all about it.
I am. Yeah, we, myself, my partner, Omid Malik, who you know as well, we took a SPAC public on the New York Stock Exchange and started trading on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, so a couple weeks ago, and we're going to ring the bell today at the closing bell at the New York Stock Exchange. He and I will be up there with a few of our colleagues, board members, officers, and we are, as you know, with the SPAC, it's a special purpose acquisition company, so it's a public company. It's got cash in it. We are looking actively for a operating business that we can acquire, and you know what we do at 1789 Capital, which is also run by myself and by Omid. We're investing in building the American future. We want to back innovators, people with high growth businesses that are going to regrow the American middle class and reintroduce the next American golden age. So we're excited. It'll be fun to be up there on the platform, ringing the bell, and just looking forward to it.
Yeah, so it's really great. I mean, and you're a serious business guy. Talk about 1789 Capital more broadly, about the vision, really kind of what you know, you guys are trying to do to try and drive entrepreneurship and value in the country we want to live in. Build the country that you want to live in.
That's what I've said for years, Charlie, as you know, is like, you know, we as conservatives, we have a lot of critiques of the current state of play in this country. They're valid. I share them. I voice them often, as you know, but that's, you know, having a critique isn't enough. We don't want to just be hecklers. We want to try and figure out how do we take all of the resources in this country, and there are a lot, natural resources, political goodwill still exists in this country. Most importantly, we have the best business people, the best innovators in this country, and they have been stifled in a lot of ways. Sometimes it's just by, you know, big companies, they get so big, they're bureaucratic, and that's sort of just sort of the nature of the beast, and then people spin out of them because they have better ideas and they need capital to grow. What we've seen in the past, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, it really accelerated since 2020 is what some people call woke capital. And that's the politicization of capital. And that has really stifled innovation, which has downstream effects, which are really negative. It leads to a less secure, less prosperous country. I mean, you think about, just by way of example, Google will do business with the PRC, with the People's Republic of China, communist China, but will not do business with the U.S. Department of Defense, infamously. And we look at that and say, you know, it's time to bring institutional great capital to back great American innovators, because that's the only way we're going to build the next American age of prosperity. And that's what we're up to at 1789.
I love it. Just kind of closing on that topic, Chris, if there are entrepreneurs, business owners, more broadly, is there a way to get connected with what you guys are doing? Is it just more kind of a closed door process? Tell us about it.
No, look, we meet people all kinds of ways, and we have friends throughout the conservative ecosystem. We have friends on Wall Street and Washington, but we always want to meet interesting, dynamic people. You can go to 1789capital.io. You can go on my X account at the Chris Buskirk, or just email me, chris@1789capital.io. I will regret giving that email out because I'm going to get a million emails, but I will be very happy because I know that there's going to be some percentage of them that are really good. And that's what I find, which is super encouraging as an investor or investing on behalf of 1789. There are so many smart people in this country, Charlie. It's just, you know, we look at the political situation sometimes when we think like, gosh, all is lost. But don't despair. Like, well, I see the companies that are being formed, the companies that are growing around this country, and it's a huge encouragement. We just have this deep wellspring of great Americans who are doing really interesting things.
Yeah, I love that. You know, we get a lot of emails, freedom@charliekirk.com, and there are some that are funny, some that are not great, and then there are some brilliant, brilliant exactly. people that just blow you away. So that's why I open up our email. I read them all. And then some make me chuckle. Some I say, oh, that's not a really smart thing. And some I say, that is absolutely genius. The combined intelligence and wisdom of the American people in this audience is second to none. So freedom@charliekirk.com or go to the websites you provide. Chris, you know, as you know, I'm deep into the campus space. Every day at Turning Point USA, we're battling against the college cartel. You know, I wrote the book, The College Scam. You and I have riffed extensively about kind of the college cartel. I'm so glad to see them suffering. I'm so glad to see them, you know, finally on defense. But I fear that really bad actors are going to capitalize on the situation to even restrict speech on campus even further against conservatives, pro-liberty, pro-freedom, or just anyone that might have a contrarian idea perspective. Chris, I know you agree with me on this. Build this out, because this could be an opportunity that turns into a tragedy.
Yeah, I mean, look, what we see, you see this especially in the Ivy Leagues. You see it at University of Pennsylvania over the weekend, the president resigned, but you see it at Harvard Law School. There's a certain schadenfreude, there's a pleasure that conservatives are taking in seeing these very left-wing college officials, college presidents primarily, but others as well, some of the trustees at these colleges. And we've looked at them for years and said, these people are just absolutely, like, they're crazy, insane. They're anti-American in really profound ways. And when we see them taking flack because of the stances that they have been taking with regards to Hamas, and you say, you know, that's justice. Finally, you're being held to account on this. And nobody's sorry to see the president of the University of Pennsylvania go. She was, you know, unique. Well, I was just going to say uniquely horrible. No, she wasn't uniquely horrible. She was profoundly horrible. But,
yes,
you know,
awful.
So are the presidents of Harvard. So is the president of a lot of these institutions. However, we should also realize that some of the things that are the specific actions that we are applauding and that may, and in fact are just in a lot of ways, that the things that come out of those will definitely be weaponized by the people who take the place of the college presidents who are going to suffer the consequences for their actions in the immediate future. This doesn't change who the college professors are. This doesn't change these institutions. Yes, it's good that these people have gone, but we still are engaged in the exact same fight. We still have to deal with the exact same threats. But this will be, I guess what I want to say is that we should be aware of the fact that people on the left have not changed their views on this, and that they will, as they say, not, not let a crisis go to waste. And the next thing you know, that some of these rules or mores that are enacted as a result of the imbroglio around Hamas will be used against conservatives. And the next thing you know is you say something conservative with a pro-American tinge to it, and now all of a sudden we're back to the hate speech thing and you're getting expelled or you're suffering some type of a consequence. So I think you're right to be extremely leery of some of the things that are taking place right now.
Yeah, and look, let me be very clear. If you're pounding on library doors hunting after Jews, that's conduct, not speech. Let's just be honest, right? That's a separate issue, right? But what we're going at here, and this just kind of sends a chill down my spine because I deal with this every day. There's some people that are proposing, well, any speech that makes a marginalized group feel unsafe will no longer be allowed. Hold on, time out. So if I go to speak at Penn, which I'm planning to do in the spring if they'll have me, and I say that there are two sexes and no genders and infinite personalities, Chris, I could potentially get in trouble. I'm a guest speaker, but let's pretend a student parroted what I would say as a guest speaker as hate speech and could be disciplined in the same bucket as a Hamas terror sympathizer. Riff on that, Chris.
Yeah, this is exactly what's been going on. The only thing that's different that's happening right now, like this is just an enforcement of so-called hate speech codes. And it just happens that this is the one time where certain people on the left are getting hit with the rules that they put in place to begin with, which is this, you know, speech is violence concept. The whole idea of hate speech is almost uniformly wrong. You may be able to pick up very, very particular instances, yelling fire in a crowded theater, for example, as really dangerous speech that promotes conduct that causes harm. But what the left has promoted is a view that the speech itself is harm. So if you hear something, if you hear words that you disagree with, that causes you a harm. And as a result, you're entitled to protection from the state and the person who said something that they may believe or that is they subjectively think or that you subjectively think is good, bad, or otherwise, that person can be censored or punished for that. And it so happens that the president of Penn is punished for hate speech in this case and more. And I think we need to just go back and look at the fundamentals, go back to basics, which is what you're doing here, and talk about the difference between speech.
Yes.
And conduct.
Well, conduct. And also the Penn president, it was more about moral clarity than speech. It was her inability to answer a very simple question. It's like a layup question, right? It's a moral clarity thing. And she should be fired. And she should be fired because she mishandled this entire situation top to bottom. She's a weak person being held by Marxists. And the donations being like that are now being thwarted going to these colleges. Great. It's terrific. Love Bill Ackman. Love what they're trying to do here. But I'm going to read this really quickly. The Washington Post had an article. They changed the headline. You know, they tend to do that. The headline is now, "We lost our way on campus. How we can find our way back." The headline was, "Why we need less speech on campus." Okay? So that they changed the headline. Okay? So it's actually two separate columns of the Washington Post. One, is they actually didn't, from what I know, rename it. "To fight anti-Semitism on campuses, we must restrict speech," by Claire O. Finkenstein. But I'm going to read from a separate article here. And Chris, I think this hits it perfectly. Quote, "A culture of intimidation is a different challenge. It's very opposite of the culture of mutual respect for necessary learning and for that matter, a healthy democracy. The problem is that we're struggling with that now. Clearly, we cannot allow a culture of intimidation to develop and perdure on our campuses, regardless of what initial intentions students might have had, such as, quote, globalize the intifada or other slogans associated with eliminating Jewish people. If college campuses regularly had groups of kids chanting white power, I would not be comfortable sending my kids there, even if those chanters never took a targeted action against a specific person." Okay, that's a fair argument to make, finally incorporating that. But you could see where this is headed, Chris, right? Which is they would love nothing more than to restrict our ability to challenge trans tyranny, to make pro-life arguments, to talk about restricted immigration. They're already calling us Nazis. And they say, oh, well, Hamas is using Nazi-like language. And then somebody's going to say, well, let's just make this equal opportuning affecting. Let's kick all the Turning Point groups off campus. Chris, we got to be really principled here, don't we? Because how often do we give power that then just gets used against us?
Every single time. I mean, we're betting 1,000 on that one. Look, you're either for free speech or you are not. And if we want to have a functioning, self-governing republic, then we need to we need to really understand that free speech, A, is essential to that, and B, that there is an important and very and pretty easy to understand distinction between conduct and speech. You know, and we can't make rules based on edge cases. So, you know, we saw at, maybe it's a month or 6 weeks ago now, we saw Jewish students at Harvard and HLS being chased by the editor of the Harvard Law Review. OK, that is conduct. It's despicable and it should be punished. That's different than saying than making a statement that somebody disagrees with, a political statement that somebody disagrees with. Now, where this gets dicey is when people are calling for violence. And I think that's what that's where these college administrators need to show some wisdom in the specific case around Israel's war against Hamas, is that when the students are on campus and they're calling for violence, that now we run up into these situations where you're shouting fire in a crowded theater. But that is not what is going to happen here. What is going to happen is that there's going to be more restrictive speech codes put on place in campus, if that's even possible. And once the furor dies down around these specific issues, the left is still in control of all of these institutions, and those rules will be used to restrict conservative speech, pro-American speech. Anything that you wanted to say about, say, pro-life or, you know, in any way questioning the trans agenda will be viewed as not just calling for violence, but as violence itself. And that's where I think conservatives need to really, really seek wisdom on this and decide who and how they want to partner with in dealing with this issue.
Yeah, and just to kind of put a bow on it, every day the trans groups say that we are committing trans genocide because we don't say that they are the gender that they say they are. And they say that's literally how they describe Turning Point USA. We have been striked on YouTube, and we got a hate speech strike because I said that trans people are suffering from a mental illness. That is hate speech on YouTube. In closing here, Chris, 2024 is around the corner. What are you looking at that is giving you the most hope?
Yeah, gosh, more things than I would have thought I could say maybe 6 months ago. Look, what I think we've all seen happen is that the more that Donald Trump has been attacked and persecuted by a weaponized justice system, the more popular he has gotten. And we see that both in polls of Republican primary voters, but you see that also in polling of independent and swing voters, which is people look at this and they say, you know, maybe I like Trump, maybe I don't, maybe I'm not, maybe I think he's not, wasn't a great president, but I don't think these things should be happening to him. You know, the anecdotal evidence I have here, and bear in mind, it is just anecdotal, is that there are sort of a lot of fair-minded people in this country that look at what's going on in the persecution and prosecution of Donald Trump, and they have given him another look. And I think that is extremely hopeful. The other thing that I've seen is that our side, for all of the sort of weeping and gnashing of teeth, is that we are, I think, understanding what it means to get grassroots organizations up, organized, and in the field. And you obviously are a huge part of this, Charlie. But there are a bunch of other organizations, an ecosystem, you could say, that's been developing since 2020. That is much more serious about grassroots organizing. You know, I think back to when Barack Obama was running for president. They'd say, you know, he's a community organizer. What's that? Well, there's a bunch of conservative organizers out there now, and we're going to reap real benefits from that in 2024.
Amen. Chris, God bless you, man. Congratulations on the announcement. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon recruiter service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting, because life's too short for a bad hire.